Last week, we changed the sermon title for the radio and for Facebook. We changed the sermon title to, we did a discussion on the book Andrew Womack wrote called You've Already Got It. So today, we're going to have part two of You've Already Got It. And before I get into it, I want to put our little phrase up that's right after that, Alex, our little phrase that we put up relative to our Bible lesson. How many remember that? Listen, if you haven't listened to it more than one time, listen to it again. This stuff is so important. It's so important. We desperately need a David, the church, to rise up and be like King David. We need to be able to stand up and say, who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Let me just tell you, in my job, I'm a CPA, and I'm also a financial advisor, and I work for a company called Waddell & Reed, and a lot of folks in here know something about it because y'all have invested money with them. And so last year, they were bought out by a company. Anyway, long story short, the new name of the company is LPL Financial, and they're a bigger, more technologically advanced company, so it's a better company with better access to things that'll help people. And we were told, get this now, we were told when they bought us that the transition would be seamless. All of our data would just transfer over, and you wouldn't have to do anything. Just relax and enjoy the ride, and leave the driving to us. Take the Greyhound bus and leave the driving to us. Well, Whitney comes to me last week and informs me that they have determined that they're only going to give us till February the 1st to get everything repapered. And this was on a Monday. And I'm telling you, I had to fight depression because I looked at the list of names that I had to call that I had not yet repapered. And I thought, well, there's no way I'll get it done. And of course, I came home and Teresa had been diagnosed with COVID, and I was so compassionate to her because, you know, anyway, we did get it done. Christine and Whitney are excellent employees, and we came up with a system where we could call several people at once. But I want to tell you something. I bet you last week I made 150 phone calls. I'll bet you last week I made at least 150 phone calls, and I am not exaggerating. At least half of those people either had a bad cold or had been diagnosed with COVID. Now, I think in most of those illustrations or most of those things, I think it's the same thing. I think what it is maybe a flu or a cold. And so I've gotten some experience with this because Teresa's been diagnosed with it twice. She's not had any major symptoms or anything that would be alarming, but I have gotten a little experience in this, and the people that seem, in my personal opinion, I'm not a doctor, and by the way, neither is Dr. Anthony Fauci. Right. So I'm in real good company. Now we have a wonderful doctor in our midst that takes care of bones and feet and legs and ankles, and so we're not opposed to doctors, and I'm not a doctor, but I will have to tell you that I am able to make some observations. And so I've determined the people that I really think that have the COVID flu or whatever this is when you have a fever. And then what I'm hearing is they tell me that they can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. They're just totally fatigued and tired, and they have no energy. And God bless my dear sister in Cincinnati that rents a house from me. About half loves me. You can't beat that when it comes to siblings, huh? You know, she's had that twice. She got it when nobody knew what it was, before March of 2020, before they shut down the NCAA basketball tournament. But they better not shut it down this year, because old daddy might have the best team this year. Ask the Kansas Jayhawks. But anyway, she got it before anybody knew what it was, and then this next time, She let me know that she got it again, and she had a low-grade fever I think Coco's had a fever with the kids. Yeah, and then the energy level's real low. If you just got a runny nose and some sinus stuff, you just got a cold. Now, don't shout me down now just because I know more than Dr. Fauci or Fauci. Oh, folks, we got some clowns running our country. You know, it's a Saturday Night Live skit, but the sad part about it is it's not a skit, it's real. Anyway, I've said all that to tell you that I need to teach people how to get healed because a lot of people are sick. And so the first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to determine in your heart, do I believe in my heart that God by grace has healed me? But it's going to go a little bit deeper now. Now, it's got to get a little bit deeper than that. I'm going to get to that. So the second thing I'm going to get to, don't put that in there yet. But you're doing fine. You're doing fine. You are technologically fine, okay? But don't put it in yet because I got to go to some other direction first. So we're going to talk about getting you healed before I finish. But there's something about being healed that ties to something else. And so another thing that's happened to me is I've been getting emergency emails from the local church leadership because I'm in their email loop. They probably don't know I'm in it. If they did, they'd delete me off of it. But I'm in their loop, and they are putting out a plea for us to get together to pray for our country. Now, y'all listen to me, and I'm going to tell you why nobody likes us. That's stupid. Somebody said, "Oh, my God, what? What?" Yeah, they want us to get together to pray for our country as though God don't know what's going on in our country, as though God doesn't know why what's going on in our country is going on, because prayer's not the answer for our country. Prayer's not the answer for our country. Getting people acquainted with Jesus Christ is the answer for our country, for Romania, for Yugoslavia, for Ukraine that we're all of a sudden so interested in protecting. Don't worry about the fact that we got all kinds of illegal criminals crossing our border in the southern border of our country that our politicians don't care about because they want to turn them into voters. Boy, you would think that people would have more brain power than that, though. And that's what perplexes me. I mean, I just can't understand how people can stay that dumb. I really don't. So anyway, they're all wanting us to get together to pray for our country so that God will do something. They need a copy of this book. And I almost changed the title of my sermon to God Has Already Done Something. Because I will tell you without any hesitation why we're in the mess we're in from a Christian perspective. It's because we're not reading the right things in the Holy Bible. This book I'm holding in my hand, you've already got it. The first 5 or 6 chapters deal with the truths. Listen to me by radio or internet. The first 5 or 6 chapters, and probably the rest of the book, I haven't gotten it done yet, deal with a book in the Bible called Ephesians. It's the letter to the church at Ephesus, and it's written by the Apostle Paul, and it tells the church at Ephesus all the wonderful things that God has done in Christ Jesus. In fact, there is a verse in there, and I don't have it memorized, and I won't turn there, but there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 3, I believe it is, that says all this was accomplished. How many of you like that word, accomplished? It was accomplished in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the problem is, ministers don't know it. They don't have that understanding of it because they think that Bible there is, I don't know what they think it is, but what it is, it's the book of life that has to be rightly divided, and you have to get to the part that applies to you, and you got to quit treating people like they're unsaved or Old Testament Jewish people if you're dealing with saved people. If you're not dealing with saved people, then you tell them about Jesus. And you can't pray anybody into heaven. You got to preach somebody into heaven. Go tell it on the mountain. Every single one of y'all who identify as Christians and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, do that because somebody told you about it. How can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of the peace that's found only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I swear, I don't mean this. I guess I do mean this disrespectfully. I don't understand how people don't see that. It's not like it's hidden. And to sit around and think that we've got to pray and first of all, inform God about how bad it is. It's bad because the United States of America is being run by the kingdom of darkness. If you want the United States of America to be a better place, you got to get more people that are operating in the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And as long as you keep electing corrupt politicians, godless, demonic, devil-possessed politicians, this is what you're going to get. And I don't think, I was thinking about this, Gary, that you've moved to that position, and I like it. I can point at you. I swear, Brian, and I know sometimes you're like, oh, Mark, shut up. But I can't understand why people don't see that. I don't get that, Donnie. I don't get it. And they hate our guts. People hate our guts for doing this and telling these things to people. And they want to talk bad about us and criticize us and tell us that we're... I'm telling you, folks, getting around in a circle and seeing if God will do something about our situation is a waste of time. It's a waste of our energy. It's a waste of our effort. We need to find out what God's already done, and then we need to get the spirit of David and start talking to people and telling people and telling COVID-19 and telling cancer and telling tuberculosis and telling depression. Who are you? Who are you? I serve the living God. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So here's what I'm going to put into here first. I want you to see this. And you ready to type? Do I believe in my heart that God, by grace, listen to this now, listen, and we're going to get to the healing portions of it maybe. Do I believe in my heart that God, by grace, has saved the world? Saved the world. Do you know he saved the world already? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know that before Adam and Eve ever sinned, before they ever turned this over to the devil, and that's the reason why God can't automatically fix everything, because it's not his to fix at this moment. It's under the authority of Satan, and Satan got that authority from man. And do you know that before that ever happened, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was a lamb slain that took away our sins? Do you know that it's not necessary anymore to ask God to save anybody? Do you know when somebody comes down to the altar and ask to receive Jesus, if you've got any theological training at all, if you've stayed out of all religious seminaries, if you have any understanding at all, if somebody comes down to the altar to receive Jesus, we don't huddle together and say, wait just a minute, I'm going to take my deacons to the back and we're going to pray and ask God, does he want you saved? See, we don't think about it. See, we just don't think. We don't. Of course, it's true in all segments of life. That's why all you got to be in life, listen to me, young people. I got some wonderful news for you, all you young people that are getting ready to go into the world and getting ready to live in the world. All you got to be is mediocre. Mediocre will get you somewhere. Because I'm telling you, there is an epidemic of dumbness. I'm sorry. And you know, dumb is what's the word I'm looking for? Relative. You know, you can be smart at one thing and dumb at another. If you brought a car up there to the front and put the hood up and said, Mark, show me where the oil stick is, You know what I tell you? Call Dan Byswinger or call Teresa and she'll tell you where that stick is. In fact, when I was in the service, I was one of the few people in the service that actually had a real nice car. I had come from Kentucky to Arizona in a 1984 Ford Camaro that had everything. No, Chevy Camaro. Chevy. Yeah. See, you can tell how good I am at it. And listen, do you know that I can't stand anybody that discriminates against anyone based on the color of their skin? Do you know we're all made by the same Creator? That skin color means absolutely nothing. Did you know that? And that there's no place in the world for that. But again, see, you got to be careful now. See, the devil is subtle, and he's a snake, and he's a liar. And so he's tried to make everything about racism. But see, sexual behavior and weirdness is not about racism. It's about weirdness. Anyway, I come to Fort Huachuca with my Camaro, and of course, I'm the most popular guy in the barracks. I'm just telling you. And anyway, I don't know. See, so people are going to take this as racist or whatever, but the black guys in the barracks would come to me on Saturday, and they'd say, "Are you going to wash that car?" And I'd say, "No, I wasn't planning on it." And they'd say, "Yeah, you got to wash your car and take care of your car, and your car will take care of you." And they literally showed me how to wash and wax a car. And then, no, that's a true story. All the white guys out there got mud beating up on it, you know. And then finally one day they said, "Now, have you changed the oil in that thing?" And I said, "What's that?" Yeah, he says, "You got to keep fresh oil in your car." I said, "Huh?" So they took me over. They got a place. Is it still there at Fort Huachuca, the auto repair shop? And they lifted that thing up and put it on a lift. And they said, "Now you just take this thing out here and the oil will spill out into this thing." I said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. How much would it cost me to pay you to go get my oil checked?" And from that day till hence, Daddy has never done anything relative to car repair. Amen. So anyway, generally speaking, there's an epidemic of stupidity. Can you say amen? And it's true in the ministry. It's true in the church. It's true whenever you hear anybody say we got to get together and pray and ask God to do something about our situation. First of all, that's telling me you know nothing about your responsibility. Your responsibility is to tell somebody about what God's already done. And see, so get back to the fellow that came up to get born again. When he comes up to get born again, what do we do? When he comes up to receive Jesus, what do we do? We say, "Come on, receive it. It happened 2,000 years ago, and all you got to do is from your heart believe that Jesus died for you, and you will be saved." You don't ask God to save him. You don't wonder if God will save him. You know God will save him. Now, the other side of that coin, and where the church screwed up dramatically and terribly, is after the fella made that prayer, then we kept looking at him like he wasn't saved. Oh, you know I'm telling you the truth. We started watching him. I know people watch me at the golf course, and I know they're thinking, "He can't be saved." Judge not lest ye be judged. How many of you know that that's the one phrase, the one scripture that everybody knows, saint and sinner? You tell somebody they're drinking too much, first words out of their mouth, "Who are you to judge?" And God forbid you tell them they're eating too much. I can say that now that I've lost 25 pounds. First time I backslide, I'll show mercy. Do I believe in my heart that God, by grace, has saved the world? I wasn't done with that. Boy, you're excited to show off, aren't you? Aren't you excited? Amen. Do I believe in my heart that God, by grace, has saved the world? Has he? Does he have to do anything else? Is there anything else Jesus has to do? Here's the problem. Here's the reason why we know that. You know why we know that? We read the back of the book. We read the contract. We read the book of Hebrews. We've read over all kinds of places in there that says Jesus died once for all. He'll never have to die again. He won't die anymore. He'll never come down and have to deal with being a man where he's hungry and tired and cold and agitated. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the risen Savior. The life of God's flowing in his veins. He sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And what in the world are we afraid of COVID-19 for? There has to be other people. Are there other people that are preaching this? I don't watch it anymore. I can't. Maybe I should. I don't know. I can't. Are there other people telling people this? Are there people that are filling up churches where that's what the minister's saying to people? Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? God's already done it. Go into the world and conquer the devil. You know why they won't do it? A lot of them won't do it because they're scared that the devil's going to hear it and get on their trail. Well, if you know who he is and you know what he doesn't have, it's not that big a deal. He's been on my trail ever since I started this deal. Amen. Y'all see that? Do I believe in my heart that God by grace has saved the world? Now, the other part of that is that where we also misunderstood that is when you get into the book of Ephesians, you'll get to Ephesians 1:3, and what you'll understand about saving the world and that word salvation, Ephesians 1:3. And really what we ought to do is just read the book of Ephesians verse by verse. But I found when I do that, I lose y'all. Because again, I have to have some element of inspiration and entertainment, or you guys get out there looking at me all wacky and weird like, man, he ain't funny no more. Oh no, Mark used to be funny. He's not funny anymore. Or I have to talk bad about one thing that'll keep everybody interested is when I talk bad about Joe Biden. That's my go-to to get you woke up. But anyway, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say that with me. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now you got to read the rest of the chapter and get over to chapter 2 to find out that God raised Jesus to his right hand. We're going to read it. Let me show you something. See, we don't know our place. We don't know our position. And that's why we're yielding to these things. And we're not where the world's turning to for their answer because we don't know our position. Look at that. Watch this now. See, everybody says, well, see there, that's just heavenly places, spiritual blessings. Watch this, and let me show you something. Let me show you this. Let me teach you this real quick. And let me recommend to you, because I was with the Lord this week, and I got over, and I just went ahead one day and just read the whole book of Ephesians. It's six chapters. It's six chapters. You can read the thing in 15 minutes. And so I just read the whole thing. And after I read it, I said, Lord, I know why people are so dumb. I do. And he said, tell me. And he didn't really. But I said, Lord, I know what the deal is. They're not reading this. They're not getting this into their membrane. They're not getting this into their spirit. They don't understand that it's been accomplished in Christ. The book that's actually been given to set us free has really got a lot of people bound up. Because they're bound up on the wrong part of it. They think they got to go back here and keep all this stuff back here when they have to understand that Jesus did it for you. Now, listen to me very carefully. This may turn out to just be an evaluation of the book of Ephesians. What you have to understand about the Apostle Paul and his ministry, what he would always do is he would tell you first who you were before he told you how you should act. So you got to know what you have and what you are before you can do what they tell you to do. See, you can't tell a cat to be a dog. A dog is going to be a dog and a cat's going to be a cat. Amen. I wish there was something we could do that would cause my dog not to want to lick my face at 6 o'clock in the morning. And the other thing I don't understand is why I have a 19-year-old son in a bedroom snoring and sleeping and why he's not licking his face. Somebody explain that to me. But you see, what happens is the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians tells you the amazing things that have happened to you through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he tells you, because you are a new creature, because God is on the inside of you, because you are God's workmanship, then you ought not lie. You ought not steal. You ought to be good to your wife. Oh, it's all in that one book. You could get on, if you only had one book, if you had the book of Ephesians and that's all you had access to, you could kick the devil in the teeth every day of your life. You'd treat your wife good. You'd treat your kids good. You'd work on your job proper. If you were in a position where you were in charge, you'd know how to treat the people under you. But you would be told first why you can do that. You can do that because of what God did. Not what you did, because of what God did. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Oh, Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit, let anybody that's listening, let anybody that's hearing this, let them get a spirit of revelation into the book of Ephesians. If you're listening today and you're saying, Ephesians, what? What's Ephesians? Is that a new language? What's Ephesians? And you know, some people are saying that that's been in church their whole life. For the love of God! You ought to come to church and learn the New Testament. It's the new covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood to make it the new covenant. God Himself died on a cross and shed His blood and went into heaven with His own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us so we could be God's workmanship. For the love of God, you ought to know that. And if you're a preacher of the gospel and you've never preached out of the book of Ephesians, you need to be fired. I wish God would let me fire some people. The only thing I'm scared about is if He did that, He might fire me first. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. Every now and then I do this. But He loves what I'm doing. He loves what I'm doing. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. It's been here. Men shed their blood for this. The Gutenberg press was invented, and they started printing this out, and it changed the whole world. Because the world's not going to get saved by prayer. The world's going to get saved by knowledge. You know what God's told me to do after this? You know He's told me to do? I don't know how long we'll be on this, but you know He's told me to bring back, talk about the decision-making process. Make people understand about that. Let them know about that. Let them know that the quality of your life is directly related to the decisions you make, and the decisions you make is directly related to the information you receive. It was impossible for me for the first part of my life to make any good decisions because I had the wrong information. I was acting on the wrong thing. And then I got over here and got some truth, and then finally God had to get this man's book into my life and heart so I could understand more to give the better information to people so we'd see better results. Are you at the book of Ephesians yet? So anyway, but there you are listening by radio and internet. The book of Ephesians is a book in the New Testament in your Bible towards the back. And it won't make a bit of sense to you if you don't receive Jesus. Won't make a bit of sense to you. You know why it won't make a bit of sense to you? Because it's not for you. The letters in the back are written to people who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior? Then that's the book for you. What's that song? The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. How's it go? B-I-B-L-E. That's another thing that we have. That's another great truth that God showed me. You know what's so sad about the Protestant church? We'll take now. I don't know what's going on in our group back here. But generally speaking, back in the old day, we would take our kids back and tell them the simplicity of the gospel. And then the adults would come in the sanctuary and we'd preach doubt and unbelief to them and tell them it's all been done away with. You know, that was just for the apostles. God don't do that anymore. But before you go, make sure you write out your tithe check. I wouldn't write a tithe check to you if my life depended on it. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. That's another thing. Make sure you know what you're spending your money on when it comes to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a reason why, bless God, I am privileged and proud that this church is writing checks to this ministry. They've paid off the parking lot. I'm holding up the book. You've already got it by radio and internet. Andrew Womack's ministry, they've paid off the parking lot, and now they're going to start building student housing. And we're a part of that. And those people are hearing this stuff taught on a daily basis. You know, if you sit under this all the time on a regular basis, you wouldn't have to worry about COVID or sickness at all. It'd heal you. Because it's life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. And I have talked way too long, and I haven't got to my whole point here. So Ephesians chapter 1, listen to this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Here's what we really need. I'm going to start verse 17, Ephesians 1, verse 17, and then we'll have to come back and pick it up next week because I don't know what it is about 30 minutes flashing at me. I just don't understand it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Notice there's nothing else to get except the knowledge of it. Remember that. There's nothing else to get except the knowledge of it. You don't have to fast and pray and bawl and squall and beg for God to do something. All you got to do is fast and pray and bawl and squall that God will reveal it to you. So if those guys wanted to get together and get in a circle and do that, I'd be there with them. But they're implying that they've got to talk God into doing something instead of understanding that God's already done it. And you can't hide behind prayer to shirk your responsibility to go out and tell people about Jesus through words and actions. Are you with me? Verse 18. Listen, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's what it is. And listen, the New King James calls it understanding. A lot of translations say the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. Because it's not understanding it up here. Because first of all, you'll never understand it up here. Your brain short circuits. You got to get it on the inside of you. It's got to dawn on you. See, it's got to dawn on you. It's got to be like it was with me. You got to come to the place where you're reading the Bible. Nobody ever told you anything. You never got doubt and unbelief in your heart from somebody else. You just simply went in a room somewhere. You read the book of Ephesians and it's like, man, this is phenomenal. And I got over in the Protestant church and I thought this is what they'd be talking about. And they don't ever talk about it. They don't ever talk about it. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. Listen, listen. That you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Man, you got an inheritance. Wouldn't it be cool if somebody died? Not that they died necessarily. But wouldn't it be cool if you discovered that you got somebody left you $1 million you didn't know nothing about it? You inherited that. You've inherited all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Somebody say amen. I'm going to say it to you again. You've inherited all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. They're on the inside of you, and your entire Christian life is about getting what's on the inside of you out. It's not about asking God to do anything else. It's ignorance of the new covenant. It's ignorance of God that causes people to say what they're saying. And it is incomprehensible or incomprehensible that more people don't want to shout with us on Sunday morning and learn this together. But you know what? It's not on us. We're here, aren't we? We've had several temptations to not be here. But we didn't yield to it, right? Verse 19. And what? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. And what is the exceeding greatness? Oh man. You think that's greater than COVID-19? You think that's greater than cancer? You think that's greater than depression? You think that's greater than poverty? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? You got to see that. Again, folks, radio and internet listeners, Book of Ephesians, New Covenant, New Testament. If you believe in Jesus, dust your Bible off. Read this. And don't read anything else till you get this. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, verse 20, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. 21, I don't want to just keep going till far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He's telling you that you have the same resurrection power in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You're a king and a priest. You're a king and a priest. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, I don't have to talk anybody into that, do I? Somebody said, oh, that's glorious. That's glorious. I'm going to write a song about that. I'm going to write a song about the fact that Jesus is far above all principalities and powers. That's glorious. But watch this. Watch this. And I'll skip to chapter 2, verse 4. I'll skip to chapter 2, verse 4. But God, See, this is one of my go-to verses to think about and meditate on. And I've got this. Listen, a guy gave me a book of verses to memorize last tax season. Good dude. Good dude. Heart in the right place. You know, real close. If he'd come around this kind of Bible teaching, he'd be a dynamo for God. Amen. But he goes somewhere where they probably corral his desire to really do something positive for the kingdom of God. You better be careful with that stuff. No, you need to get out with this stuff. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy. Oh, this is forever settled something else too. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. Now listen to me very carefully about something. That's everybody. That's the whole world. See, God saved the whole world. He loved the whole world. God loves the whole world. See, but for this to work for you, that's got to be you. That's got to be you. That's got to be that us is the whole world, but that us has to be me. I got to know God loves me. And I cannot allow myself to think of all the reasons why He wouldn't. Because there are plenty. I have to think about all the reasons why He does. And there's one. His name is Jesus. That's why it's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving you kind of an overview of the book of Ephesians because I'm thinking maybe, just maybe, you'll take some time from your busy schedule and maybe read it for yourself. Because the Bible says that the whole family in heaven and earth is named through Jesus Christ. See, it don't matter if you're a Smith or a Jones or a Browning or a Rubel or a Booker or a Wright. It matters. Are you Jesus? It don't matter if you're black or white, male or female, Jew or Gentile. It matters. Are you Jesus? Now, let me tell you what that's always going to bring. Let me tell you, that's always going to bring persecution and tribulation. Always. Because there's billions of people out there that's worshiping false gods. And we're telling them about the only true God. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 says, if you've heard about Jesus, I'm giving you an overview. This is what we're going to do. I wasn't planning this. I had a whole other direction I was going, but I'm doing it by the Spirit of God. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 says that the truth is in Jesus. That's where the truth is. And see, that makes people mad as fire, because there's millions, billions of people who have not looked for truth through Jesus. They've looked for truth through Buddha, through Islam, through Hare Krishna. And in the Protestant church, they've looked for truth through their own good works, through their own self-righteousness. And that's not the truth. The truth is in Jesus. And that same chapter says that God created all things through Him. So He qualifies. He's the creator of everything, and He is truth. And then don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget it. I'm giving you another overview. Don't ever forget this. There's not one shred of truth in the devil. Jesus said He's a liar and the father of it. There is no truth in Him. There is no truth in Him. When He speaks a lie, He speaks of His own resources. For He is a liar and the father of it. How many of you want to go back and read the book of Ephesians sometime? Sometime you're going to read it for me. Amen. Some of you need to call me on the phone and say, now, preacher, what was that book you're talking about? Ephesians what? Ephesians who? You know what's so sad? There's ministers that's listening that's going to have to open their Bible up and figure out where it is. You know, we're kind of on an Andrew Womack thing. He tells stories about people, listen to me, he tells stories about people that come to Karis Bible College that were graduates of seminaries that never opened the Bible through their entire seminary degree. I wish I was making some of this stuff up, but you know how it is. Can you say amen? But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Isn't that true? Now watch this. Watch this. Remember, Jesus has been raised far above principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, verse 6, and raised us up together. And made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where at? Look at verse 21 of chapter 1. Where am I sitting? Where am I sitting? Listen to this, and I'm going to get some of my truth in here. Where am I sitting? I'm sitting far above COVID-19. See, church, you got to hear that. You can't just kowtow and be afraid like the rest of the world is. Like you don't have a God that loves you, that's done something for you. You've been seated far above sickness and disease and turmoil and depression and strife. Because principalities, powers, and might and dominion are the people, are the forces, the spiritual forces that brought all that junk into the world. And you've been raised above it. But you got to see that. You got to get to a place where you see that. And I've done my job today. I've done my job. Today I can say I've done my job because I know I've inspired somebody out there. Somebody's been inspired to think, man, I think I'm going to look at that. I'm going to study that. And if you do, I've done my job. But I can't get the revelation for you. I wish I could. See, I wish I could. Don't you wish you could just get everybody saved? Huh? Don't you wish you could just get everybody healed? Don't worry about it. Don't feel bad. Neither could Jesus. You know why? Jesus couldn't either. You know why? Because everybody has a free will. Everybody has a choice. Everybody has the right to make their own decisions. You know what I've decided? I've decided that's where I sit. And I've decided that's how I'm going to live my life, like I'm sitting at the right hand of God with Jesus, far above COVID-19, far above principalities and powers, and I'm going to resist the devil, and he will flee from me. And this, my friends, should be what's heard on in Protestant spirit-filled churches every Sunday. This is what we all be talking about. Because you got to go back out there. Monday cometh. Monday cometh. For some of us, it's Sunday afternoon. You're going to go home, you're going to realize there's six loads of laundry hadn't been done yet. You're going to think, man, do you know what? When you're in Christ, you can do all that kind of stuff. You can. It's not just the big things it works on. It works on the little things. You can be a good husband. You can be. You can be a good boss or a good employee. You can be a good parent. You can be a good kid. But you won't get there if you don't know where you sit. Amen. How many is ever in school and you got to sit up front? They usually wanted me to sit towards the back. Amen. But I didn't mind that because there were some good-looking girls in the back. And I blew my whole sermon. No, I didn't, because there's some of y'all that sit in the back with me. Oh, do you know where you're sitting? Do you know what you have? Do you understand that it's not about getting God to do anything? It's simply understanding what God has already done and what he's already done. Let me close it with this, and I hope you'll come back, because I really am going to put healing in here. But I want you to see something else in this same book, and I didn't. Ephesians 3, verse 8. I like this attitude here by the Apostle Paul, too. I want you, Ephesians 3, verse 8. Everybody good? What we got on time, James? Goodness gracious. Praise the Lord. Listen to this. Y'all tracking with me? You're going to be like King David. You're going to be like who you really are, which is a born-again, spirit-filled child of God. You're God's workmanship. You're sitting at the right hand of God with the Lord Jesus Christ. Greater is the God in you than the devil that's in the world. I like this attitude here too, and this is something that I want you to see. This is Paul writing. See, Paul got the revelation, the greatest revelation ever given to a flesh and blood human being. To me, and by the way, he paid a dear price for it. See, he paid a dear price for it. When you tell people the truth, you're going to pay a price. Tribulation and persecution is going to be around the corner. Because, see, the devil's the god of this world, and he has a legal right to be here. Jesus never cast him out of the world. Now, his time's coming. Oh, his time's coming. And, oh, don't you just wonder why it hadn't already come? Let's be honest about it. The dude's called all kinds of trouble, and his time's coming. But right now, he's still the prince of the power of the air, the spirit. I'm giving you all these verses out of the book of Ephesians. He's still the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. And that's when you pick up verse 4. God is rich in mercy, and he seats you at the right hand of Jesus, because by grace he saves you. Somebody said, boy, I wish I knew that. That's a man. Man, you may not be able to change oil in a car, but you sure know the Bible. You know why? I'm way more interested in the Bible than I am oil in a car. No, wait a minute. I said that for a purpose. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I need to repent. See, another thing, real quick, another thing. Don't be going and telling Gentile unbelieving people they need to repent. No, they need to come to Jesus. You know who needs to repent? The church. We need to repent. We need to do better. And we don't need to do better because God will look on us with favor. It's all in this book. Every bit of this is in this book. I can't tell you everything in a 55-minute sermon. You don't do these things because it'll make God love you more. You do these things because it'll make you love God more. God, that's in here. That's in this book. When you read it, highlight it. And then say, you know, I believe I heard Mark say that. And then here's what I want you also to do. I want you to read this book and say, well, that's how he knows that. He ain't all that smart. You know what I found out? I found out that the longer I stayed in the accounting profession and the more I did things, the people I thought that were real smart, they weren't that smart. They just did them a lot. Man, this thing makes so much sense, you almost got to pay somebody to misunderstand it. Right? Am I right? Yep. To me, this is the Apostle Paul, to me who am less than the least of all the saints. See, he had the right attitude, man. But he still considered himself to be a saint. He wasn't an ain't, he was a saint. To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given. This grace was given. What was it given to you for, Paul? So you could make millions of dollars and have jet airplanes and $1 million suits or $1,000 suits and $1 million home? Is that what was given to you? So you could have a big prayer list and what do they call them things in the ministry? Those ministers have partners. But, oh, it's a word. It's a fundraising thing they do. They put out whatever they put out. Huh? Anyway, I can't think of it. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach, not pray, not pray. Now, see, people don't understand. Is there a place for prayer? Yeah, the right kind of praying. See, it wouldn't hurt me at all to go home all afternoon and pray about what I've preached about. But I'm probably going to watch the Bengals and Chiefs. And just hope y'all got something. Amen. Just hope you got something. Praise the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, see, wait a minute. Hang on. Yes, Lord. And that's another example. That's another reason why you do not want to focus your eyes and attention on the minister ministering to you. You want to focus your eyes and attention on my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he'll never fail you. He has but one thing to do, and that's to sit at my right hand, ever living to make intercession for you. And he never fails. And I will love him eternally. And because I love him eternally, I love you eternally. Amen. This grace was given that I should preach, that I should preach. That the ministerial association in Sierra Vista should preach. That the people in the pews should preach. That I should preach among the Gentiles. That would include the United States of America, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that include the United States of America? Is that the answer for the United States of America? That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Let's stand up on our feet. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Actually, thank you, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We need all of them. Tell you what we need most right now, we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus did his. Jesus did his. The Holy Spirit wants to do his. He wants to reveal it to you. But you got to kind of want it. Did you ever notice that about God? If you don't want it, he won't do it. They had to ask him to stop when he was walking across the water. He was going to pass them by. Mark's the only one that tells you that. He was going to pass them by. He's walking across the water. They were struggling. They were, you know, they was in trouble, and he was going to pass them by. But when they said, hey, that's a ghost, or is it Jesus? He stopped and helped. Oh, here's what I want to pray today. I want to pray that everybody that's listening to me, first thing first, let's do this first, then I'll pray the prayer. First thing you got to do is receive Jesus. Man, don't be foolish and live your whole life and not accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And don't think because you went to church you're a Christian, or don't think because you, you haven't committed murder or done some of the other terrible things you see in society. You have to become a Christian through faith in Jesus. So receive this prayer. Say this prayer right now and receive Jesus. Say, "Dear God, I want to. I really want to receive Jesus Christ. So I accept what Jesus did for me. I believe He died for my sins. And I believe He rose from the dead for my justification. And I accept the gift of salvation. And I am bold to say, by faith, through grace, that I am a Christian." Now, I've prayed that prayer, so this prayer is for all Christians listening to me this morning. This is for you. This is my prayer. This is it. That the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. I pray that for every single one of us. I pray that for me. I pray that for me the most, and I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean, or superficially. I pray that for me the most. I pray that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. Because I'm telling you that when you get the enlightenment that's found in the book of Ephesians into the inner person, into the inner man, it will transform you from the inside out, and you will be able to say to the devil, "Get behind me, Satan, because the God in me is greater than you, and the God in me loves me, the God in me has saved me, the God in me has healed me, the God in me has delivered me, the God in me is for me." Amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And I'll guarantee you, he'll leave for a while. But he'll come back. But you're ready for him because now you got the weaponry. Because you have the understanding. Oh, Father, we pray for everybody listening. And I believe the Holy Spirit will do what I've asked. I believe that everybody that wants to, that the eyes of their understanding are being enlightened. And they know and are discovering who Jesus Christ is and what he really did. And we will always give you the glory, honor, and praise because you are the one, Jesus, that paid the price for all of us. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.